As my childhood pastor would have said, if you like that special music, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There you go. I want to invite first up to the podium, Vic Gray, who is going to lead us in an opening prayer.
Let us bow our heads, please. Our Father, with art in heaven, Father God, once again, we thank you for an opportunity. Opportunity right here, Father God, to come together as one. And we say thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the ones that prepared this program for us today, Father God. Thank you for that, Father God. We thank you for the speakers this afternoon, Father God. Be with them, Father God. Father God, we thank you for the ones that are here, the ones that might be on their way, Father God. We ask you to give us traveling grace, Father God, as we leave this place, back to our destination, whether it's near or far. Father God, we thank you again for those speakers. Bless them today so they can have a word for us to understand and listen to. Father, but most of all, we thank you for your precious son, Jesus. Forgive us our sins. And we all say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Vic. And good afternoon and welcome to the 11th annual Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration here in Princeton, Kentucky. It is an honor and privilege to be with you all today. If you can see my chicken scratch on my program, I was a last-minute addition, so bear with me if I have to look over to Miss Pat if I forget some of the announcements or something I'm supposed to be doing. But it is truly an honor and pleasure to see all of you here and see a full house. Today, of course, we honor and celebrate the life and legacy of an incredible American. A man whose vision for our country was predicated on the timeless proposition that the pen is truly mightier than the sword. We have wonderful speakers for you today, as Vic mentioned, and they will be able to expound more on the timeless lessons that Dr. King's life has imbued us in our current day and age. So I will get straight into that. Before that, however, I would like to recognize the many men and women who are responsible for putting on this wonderful event. So as I state your name, please stand. This is the 2025 Organizing Committee. So Ms. Ann Bannister, Taekwon Bumpus, Stephanie Burden, Gail Cherry, Pat George, Pat Hayes, Lois Jackson, Laura Klubert, Lisa Moore, Connor Parshall, Reverend Carl Copeland, and Reverend Steve Fortenberry. Please stand and let's give them a round of applause. They always put on a wonderful event for our community. I'd also like to take this time to recognize the sponsors for today's event: Community Disciples, Farmers Bank, First Southern National Bank, Planners Bank, HR Ministries, Christ Tabernacle Church, Harrison Street Baptist Church, Shepherd Street Baptist Church, Spillman Chapel CME Church, and the Princeton Art Guild. And also recognize the Community Disciples Youth Group, who are providing the free child labor for today's event. Without further ado, I will turn it over to our first speaker today, our city mayor, Brock Thomas. Please join me in welcoming him to the stage.
Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to be here today as we celebrate the life and the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I look around and it's very encouraging today as we see a full house. And I think this is my third year being part of the program, and this is the biggest crowd I remember, so I'm very encouraged by that. I want to welcome each of you today. A special thank you to the committee for your dedication in organizing this event. Thank you to the church for the continued use of this beautiful facility. Today, as we gather, friends, to honor the life and legacy of Dr. King, through his work brought hope for people for a better tomorrow. We remember his leadership and his commitment to racial equality. I would like to leave you with a quote from Dr. King. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. God bless each of you.
I would next invite up Ms. Paulette Gray, who is going to recognize the art participants.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I, too, like Judge Executive Cota, was a last-minute draft pick, but when Pat asked, I will definitely always be willing to support her and the efforts of the wonderful MLK committee. On behalf of the Princeton Art Guild, there's a statement from Joe Duncan and from their board. At the Princeton Art Guild, we believe art belongs to everyone. That is true, especially with young people. Supporting the Martin Luther King Jr. Day at Art Event is one way we help students explore big ideas like fairness, empathy, and community. Creative expression allows students to communicate what they see, what they feel, and what they hope for our community, leaders, and peers. So we are proud today to be a part of a day that honors the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. through imagination and creativity. The actual MLK committee had an art contest for students in middle school and high school. We have five winners that we're going to recognize today. And as you go up into the fellowship hall, if you'll look around, you'll see some of the winning posters. And starting January 21st, the artwork can also be viewed at the Princeton Art Guild through February 21st. And the exhibit is entitled More Than a Dream. Our first three winners are from the middle school. And if you're here, please come forward to receive your award. Jasmine Paris, Sadie Howard, and Randy Bowes. Let's give them a round of applause. And we have two high school winners, Zari Wilson and Grayson Harris. Thank you all.
I'll next ask Ms. Lisa Moore to come forward to introduce our very special youth speaker today.
Good afternoon. I have the pleasure of introducing Zari Wilson as our youth speaker. Zari is a 17-year-old junior at Caldwell County High School. She is very involved in extracurricular activities and clubs. She's a member of the Caldwell County High School cheer team and serves as OSHA president, National Honor Society event coordinator, and student council treasurer. She is also a member of the Community Disciples Youth Group, and in her free time, Zari enjoys reading and spending time with her siblings. Here today to show her support are her grandmother, Jackie Turner, and her sister and her brother. And Roxanne Wilson, her other grandmother, Roxanne Wilson.
Good afternoon, friends. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "We must all live together as brothers or perish together as fools." It is a simple sentence with a huge challenge. Choose community or choose the collapse of our way of life. These are difficult times with a lot of division in our country and around the world. How can we learn to live together as brothers and sisters? What does it look like to live together in our community? We don't have to have the same lifestyle, values, religion, or customs. Inclusion means that we treat each other as equals. We show up for others in good times and bad, and we look out for each other, and we believe that every person matters. Princeton is a small town, and I believe that we do a great job at showing up for each other. For example, when many benefits, such as SNAP, were being taken away, citizens were donating to food pantries and helping fill the gaps that arose from those programs being removed. Has a stranger ever given you an unexpected smile or let you cut them in line? It can make your day. A small unexpected kindness makes you feel good, doesn't it? Small things can have a great impact on a person. Now, what about the second part of the quote, perish together as fools? What does that look like? How about social media? The group chat that is full of rumors and conspiracy theories? How about the people whose voices aren't heard and who are bullied? People whose needs are ignored? When we participate in cliques and when we label people negatively, trust and courage disappear and we grow apart. We can still live together and have our differences. In fact, it is our differences that make us strong. A choir with only sopranos can't harmonize, and a baseball team composed of only pitchers would find it hard to win a game. Our differences can only make us strong if we choose to listen and learn. Living together as brothers and sisters isn't just about being kind to one another. It is about accountability and standing up for each other. We should speak up if a joke crosses the line or hurts feelings. It's about apologizing when we mess up and forgiving others when they mess up. It's knowing that someone else's success or identity is not a threat to our own. In a world that increasingly tries to make us choose sides, it takes courage and wisdom to choose to live as brothers and sisters. Our futures are connected. The way we treat each other today shapes the world we will live in tomorrow. Thank you.
Excellent job, Zari. Next, we'll invite up Ms. Emma Gossett, the choir director, who has brought students from the middle and high schools for a special presentation. I think I'll have to say it twice. If you like that special music, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, next we'll invite up to the podium Mr. Shane Fortner, who will be introducing our keynote speaker.
Thank you, Coda. Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, on behalf of the Congregation of Central Presbyterian Church, I want to welcome you to our church for this annual Martin Luther King Day celebration. We're glad to have everyone here with us today. My first knowing of Ken Godshall came several years ago when I was the chairman of the pastor nominating committee for Central Presbyterian Church, and we were going through several resumes that we had been sent in, and we came across Ken's, and I think I may have came across Ken's resume first, and it's well known in our church that I kind of chuckled and said, well, I want to talk to this person because they're so interesting, but I don't think there's any way this person's moving to Princeton, Kentucky from New York. Well, obviously the Lord had a different plan, and Ken Godshall and I became friends, along with many other people in our community, and he came to Princeton and served this church for 7 years, and we're grateful for his 7 years of service as our pastor here at Central Presbyterian. As you can read in Ken's biography, he had a 31-year career in the publishing industry, which he worked in New York, and after he retired from publishing, he felt the call, well, I think he felt the call before he retired, but upon retirement, he decided to go to divinity school and get his degree in divinity, and at which time he then, and Ken was a lifelong Presbyterian, so he got his divinity degree, and then he sought out seeking a church where he could have a second career as a full-time church pastor. And so he and Central Presbyterian got together, and 7 years he was here. While Ken was in Princeton, he was a member of the Princeton Rotary Club. He formed a drum club at the high school. He was very instrumental with the free clinic while he was here, and he was also very instrumental on the finance committee of the Morgan Family Foundation while he was here. In thinking about Ken and his impact on Princeton and Caldwell County, I think it takes me to an idea from the Boy Scouts. It's kind of called the campsite rule, which says when you go somewhere and you leave, be sure you leave it better than you found it. And I think we'll all agree that many things Ken did in Princeton, not the least of which is organizing and getting together this annual Martin Luther King Day celebration here in Princeton. Ken definitely left Princeton better than he found it. So let's welcome Reverend Pastor Ken Godshall.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is great to be back in Princeton. Shane, thank you for the kind introduction. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. But most of all, thank you for this event, an annual opportunity to remember the life and witness of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. King was a Baptist minister, a civil rights leader, a proponent of nonviolent social change, a winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. He was not just a man who dreamed. He was a leader who transformed a nation with courage and conviction and a vision for the future. Dr. King had many accomplishments. With your permission, I want to remember some of these right now, the achievements that made King a national figure from the very beginning of his career. To begin with, King was the leader of the Montgomery bus boycott in 1955 and 1956. A black activist named Rosa Parks was arrested because she declined to give up her seat on a crowded bus to a white person. At the age of 26, Dr. King led a 381-day protest that made him famous and provided a blueprint for the civil rights movement that followed. In 1957, King co-founded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. It was a network of black churches that provided structure and training and coordination for civil rights campaigns across the South. That organization continues to this day. In 1963, King and other civil rights leaders were arrested in Birmingham, Alabama, for disobeying a federal injunction. The injunction prohibited, quote, parading, demonstrating, trespassing, and picketing, unquote, in support of racial desegregation. While incarcerated, King wrote his letter from the Birmingham jail, a foundational American document defending civil disobedience in the cause of justice. Also in 1963, King was a key organizer and the keynote speaker for the March on Washington. In front of the Lincoln Memorial, he delivered his I Have a Dream address, one of the most powerful and eloquent speeches in the history of our country. The March on Washington gathered 250,000 people peacefully and cemented support for federal civil rights legislation. The people marched that day with Dr. King for jobs and for freedom. Martin Luther King never held public office, but his leadership and moral authority were crucial in passing the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. These two bills outlawed segregation in public places, ended discriminatory voting practices, and enabled thousands of Black Americans to vote for the first time. President Johnson explicitly credited the civil rights movement for creating the national pressure that made legislation unavoidable. Dr. King was tragically killed in 1968 while advocating for striking sanitation workers in Memphis. He was 39 years old. The civil rights movement suffered a tremendous loss and never fully recovered from his death. Let's try to understand how Dr. King was nevertheless able to accomplish so much in such a short amount of time. For starters, King promoted active nonviolent resistance grounded in the teachings of Jesus. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, overcome good with evil. King demonstrated that disciplined nonviolence was a viable political strategy that could transform laws and institutions and public opinion. King believed that justice delayed is justice denied. In his letter from the Birmingham jail, he argued that gradualism was simply another form of injustice. He was frustrated by moderates who expressed interest in civil rights but remained on the sidelines and did nothing. King was not just an orator with a microphone. He provided leadership to the civil rights movement. He was a man of action. He led boycotts and sit-ins. He organized marches and voter drives. He engaged the media of his day. This work was not spontaneous. It was carefully choreographed. King offered a vision for the future that he called the beloved community, a society rooted in compassion and equality. He looked forward to a world in which Black children and white children would be judged based on the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. He described a future grounded in justice, not just the absence of discrimination, but the presence of mutual concern. Martin Luther King Jr. was above all a person of faith. He did not see himself first as an activist, but as a minister of the gospel message. He taught that every human being possesses inherent dignity because each person is a child of God. This gave him the conviction that justice was not merely a political goal, but a sacred imperative. The church, for Dr. King, was not just a place of worship, but a platform for social transformation. Church basements became organizing hubs, sermons doubled as calls to action, prayer meetings confronted danger by offering safety and hope. King's religious faith was the source of his courage and his unshakable hope for the future of America. Faith-based hope sustained Dr. King through devastating setbacks. He fought for civil rights because he believed that God's justice demanded it. His life, looking back, was a model of courageous citizenship. He survived imprisonment and death threats. He knew he might be killed. He said so out loud on the night before his death in Memphis. He continued the work anyway. We are here today to remember King's accomplishments. We are here to give thanks for his talents and gifts. We are also here for the opportunity to build on his legacy. The life work of Martin Luther King has not been fully realized. Economic inequality continues. Racial disparities have not disappeared. Political polarization has increased. King's message offers guidance for our situation today. He encourages us to confront injustice in our time with truth, with courage, and with compassion. Dr. King famously said, "The arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice." What he didn't add is that history only bends when people, ordinary people, seize it with both hands. Today, I invite everyone here today to stand up now for the work of Dr. King. Please stand up. Stand up if you are able. And I also want you to clap your hands. Let's remember that the legacy of Dr. King remains with us. Let's clap for nonviolent political activity. Let's clap for the beloved community. Let's clap for courageous citizenship. Let's clap for the unfinished work of Dr. King. Let's clap for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Let's clap for Princeton, Kentucky and Caldwell County. Let's clap for the United States of America. Amen.
Let's give another round of applause for our very special speaker today. I think I'm going to have to use that in my next speech. There's no better way to ensure that you get an applause when you're walking off the stage and if you get everybody clapping in your speech. I like that. Next, I invite up Ms. Pat George, who has a few remarks.
Before I start my remarks, I would like for Ken and Zari to come forward. I on behalf of the MLK Organizing Committee, this is only a small token of our love and appreciation for you all coming today and sharing with us. Thank you. Today, as we come to the end of another celebration of the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. First, I would like to express our gratitude to Central Presbyterian Church, Pastor Fortin Berry, the City of Princeton, Mayor Thomas, Caldwell County Judge Executive, and and the sponsors of today's program. To Ken, who organized this special day 11 years ago, we will always be grateful. Zari, thank you for representing the youth today. So youth, look forward to, you'll never know when Pat George is going to knock on your door. If I have omitted anyone, please forgive me. Charge it to my head and not my heart. Our theme this year is inclusivity. As I started to look up the definition, I pondered over, how could it make it personal to us, each of us? Then looking at the artwork from our students, the general consensus of these students was, all of us are none of us. Then we had the theme song performed by the choir from the Caldwell County School District, Let There Be Peace on Earth. In this day and time, we all need peace, so let it begin with each of us. Last but not least, I would like to reflect on why we celebrate today. Though Dr. King lost his life more than a half a century ago, there is still much people can do to promote and secure a more equitable and just society. Dr. King delivered over 2,500 public speeches that resulted in over 1,000 Court of Lines. But as I leave you with this one, Dr. King's strongest belief, and I quote, I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. So on behalf of the committee, we'd like to thank you all for continued support. Stay warm and be blessed.
Thank you, Ms. Pat. Just a few announcements before we invite up Reverend Fortin Berry for the closing remarks and prayer. There is a donation box at the rear of the auditorium or somewhere out there. I think Mayor Shadowin may have it. He's going to shake it as you walk out to go get your lunch. If you feel strongly about the mission and the work of this committee and the great programs they put on, the committee would like you to consider making a monetary donation to help support this to continue for many years to come. And then also as you're leaving, each of you are invited to lunch up in the fellowship hall. With that, I would like to invite up Reverend Steve Fortin Berry, who is going to close out today's event.
Would you please stand for the benediction? Go now in the grace of Christ, with a holy dissatisfaction for what is unjust, and a holy hope for what can be. May God make you builders of community, the beloved community, quick to listen, slow to anger, rich in mercy, and stubbornly committed to nonviolent love. And may the peace of God guard your hearts and minds today and always. Amen.